because this coming Friday night, I'll be giving this basic message again in Greenville, North Carolina. And one of my grandsons is graduating from high school. And so it's a joy, it's a privilege to be here. And I'm so thankful that I have the privilege of working with our pastor. What a privilege that is. I hope that you do not take him for granted as a church. He didn't tell me to say this, but you know, God is doing something unique here. He really is. And there are great things ahead for this church. But when he asked me about speaking, I was just a little hesitant. I don't know if he caught it in my response, but just a slight bit hesitant. But I've got a message, guys, that I'd really like for you to take to your heart, and it's probably one that you've heard similar to it before. It's a message that's primarily to these two guys, but it'll be to all of us as well. And it's a message that I think is a real challenge. And I'm going to try to think in terms of a graduation ceremony. Because graduates, there'll be 30 or 40, I don't know how many, students in this graduating class in North Carolina. And they are not there to hear somebody bring a speech. They're there to get their diploma. And so I'm going to try to keep that in mind as I speak this evening. Let me start out by asking you to think on a question. The question is this: what is the very most important thing that you can do? What is the very most important thing that you can do? Period. Just that simple question. If I were to give you the opportunity to write down your answer in a single sentence, what would you put down as the most important thing you can do? Would you say, well, it's breathe. I've got to breathe. Well, that's pretty important. Is it excel academically? Maybe get a job. Maybe get married. Some people think that's the most important thing. What's the most important thing that you can do? What is it? I'm going to share three passages with you, and you may open your Bibles if you want to these. And this will reveal basically where I'm going. But if I were to ask you to write it down, what would you put down? I ask you, all of you in this group, moms and dads, aunts, uncles, cousins, if you had to write down the most important thing that you can do, what would it be? Listen to Proverbs 28:26, and you may turn there. Proverbs 28:26 says, and Proverbs are rich, and they need to be studied and thought upon. This one's a challenging one. This one says, he that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. But whoso walketh wisely, he shall be delivered. Look at Luke 18, 9 and 10. Luke 18, 9 and 10. And I have these in my notes. Luke 18, 9 and 10. This is speaking of Jesus. And he, Jesus, spake a parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into a temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. And you know the rest. But the thing that he said was that he spake a parable unto certain which trusted in themselves. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 6 and look at verses 17 through 19. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 17 through 19. It says, charge them which are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. Charge them, he says, that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God. I want to propose to you tonight, Luke and Audris, that the very most important thing that you can do is trust in the Lord God who designed you and created you. And if you make the choice to do that thing and make it consistent and ongoing and continuous, from this moment on, you never live a day without trusting in Him. And I'm not talking about salvation. Putting your confidence in Him, then you will do the very best thing that you can do with your life. Everything else falls under the umbrella of trust. I'm convinced by studying God's Word that more than anything else that God wants from you, Luke, is that you trust Him. And Audris, I'm convinced of the same thing with you. And as I was talking, I talked to your dad a few moments before church tonight, Luke, and I thought about the fact, thought about what was involved in your dad's answering God's call and going to Lithuania. And I don't know how old you were, but what were you, 9, 10, 5, 4? Just 4. Okay. You had no choice. You had no choice. Your dad was trusting God, and you had no choice but to trust your dad. And so when they packed up, they packed you up, and off you went to Lithuania. And aren't you glad they did, Audris? Uh-huh. And then, of course, Audris, it's a different story, your life, than Luke's. You made the choice to trust God and come to the United States to get some training so that you could better serve Him. But all of that aside, the most important thing that either one of you guys can do is make the conscious choice that throughout your life you will trust the God who designed you and created you in every aspect, in every detail of your life. Exclude none. Exclude none. Let everything about you be a matter of trusting in Him. Let me give you some quotes. Well, trust, let me give you first of all what I found in the dictionary concerning the word trust. It means assured reliance on the character, ability, strength, or truth of someone or something. One in which confidence is placed. We've read in Proverbs that it says, he who trusts in his own heart is a, what's the next word? Fool. Yeah. If Jerry Wass trusts his own heart, Jerry Wass is a fool. You can look me in the face and tell me that. And I can look you guys in the face and tell you, if you trust in your own heart, God's Word says it, Jerry Wass didn't say it, you're a fool. And so you want to say, okay, if God says that if I trust in my own heart, I'm a fool, then I am absolutely going to refuse to trust in my own heart. I'm going to trust in God. He designed me. He created me. He knows all about me. He knows my tomorrows better than I know my yesterdays. And not only would I be a fool to trust in my own heart, I also would be a fool not to trust in the one who designed and created me. Here's some quotes on trust, and some of them are a little bit entertaining, a little funny, but some are quite serious. George MacDonald said, to be trusted is a greater compliment than being loved. And I included that one because a lot of people say, I love God. I love God. I love Jesus. Jesus loves me. It's one thing to say, I love God. It's another thing to not only say, but to literally trust God. And so, trusting God is tremendous. That's the greatest and the best thing. There's another quote from MacDonald that says, he said this, "Few delights can equal the mere presence of one whom we trust utterly." Think about that. There may be, you may have somebody here on earth that you trust utterly. That's pretty challenging. Do you have, how many of you out there, if I ask you to raise your hands, could say truly, yes, there is somebody on earth, a physical, live human being that I trust utterly? Not very many hands are up. And let me just say that if indeed we do trust another human being utterly, we need to be prepared for the possibility that that other human being whom we trust utterly could fail us. God cannot fail. Jerry Wass can fail. Elaine Wass can fail. Our kids, as wonderful as they are, and our grandchildren, and the grandson who's going to graduate, all possibility of failure. But with God, there's no possibility that he can fail. And therefore, he is worthy of our trust. We can utterly trust him. Someone has said, and this one's anonymous, "All that I have seen teaches me to trust God for all that I have not seen. All that I have seen teaches me to trust God for all that I have not seen." And being at the stage of life that I am, I can look back on quite a number of years, and I can see that through those years, with all the challenges, God has been faithful. And as I look back on what I have seen, that gives me confidence to trust God for that which I have not seen. Someone else said, this one's interesting, "We are all born brave, trusting, and greedy." And most of us remain greedy. But a person who's trusting God realizes the danger of greed. And that's just an interesting one. Someone else said, "I trust everyone, I just don't trust the devil inside them." In God we trust. All others we virus scan. Trust is a big thing in relationships. Did you know that? And trust, guys, is something that almost does not exist between people. And in my experience as a counselor, I have counseled many couples and have often heard statements like, "I just can't trust him anymore," or "I just can't trust her anymore." And to that I say, well, don't. Don't. See, people can fail us. God can't. And so we must limit our trust in people. In fact, it tells us, and I'm not following my notes here, but it tells us in Psalm 118, verses 8 and 9, it's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It's better to trust the Lord than to put confidence in princes, in rulers. And I say to Elaine, don't trust me. It's not nearly so important that we trust each other as it is that we trust the God who created all of us. Now I ask this question, why is trusting God so difficult? Why is that? It is difficult, isn't it? Isn't it? I think it's difficult to trust God. In fact, somebody has said, boy, it's scary to trust God. I say, it's a lot more scary to not trust God than it is to trust God. Because when we refuse to trust God, we open ourselves up to all kinds of terrible things. Yes, God, if we really trust him, may lead us down paths that we are unsure of because he's the one leading us. But let me tell you, trusting God and following His plan for our lives is far more safe than devising our own plans and putting confidence in ourselves, or letting somebody else make the plans for our lives and putting confidence in another human being who's right where we are, who doesn't know tomorrow any more than we do. So guys, the challenge of trusting God is really great. God's ways don't always make sense to us, and God's ways will not always make sense to you. You think what God asked Noah to do made sense to him? Huh? No, I don't think so. It had not rained. I don't think Noah really had an idea of what rain really was. And yet God instructed him, and Noah, rather than saying, "God, what? You're crazy." Some people would say something like that to God. Wouldn't that be awful to say that to God? There are people who have that attitude toward God. They have that attitude toward God's word. They question it. They make fun of it. They make light of it. And they say of we who believe the word of God and who trust God, those people are crazy. And if I had been Noah, I might have been tempted to kind of think that way. But Noah decided to trust God. And isn't it a good thing he did? Let me ask you this. Would you be here if Noah hadn't trusted God? Huh? How many of you would be here if Noah had not trusted God? Not a hand up. You guys wouldn't be here today if Noah had not trusted God. And what God asked Noah to do did not make sense. And then not only does it not make sense sometimes, God works on a different timetable than our minds can understand or comprehend. God promised Abraham a son from his own body through his wife Sarah, and it was at least 24 years from the time of the promise until he fulfilled the promise. And at the time he made the promise, they were both already too old to have kids based on what we know about human biology. And yet, God fulfilled his promise, and Abraham trusted God. So, it's difficult to trust in a plan that requires us to surrender all control of time, all control of our understanding of that plan, the completion of that plan, and trust it to God. But trust is extremely important. Let me just give you not only asking why is it difficult to trust God, why is trusting God so important? I'm going to give you just five or six reasons right quick. Trusting God is important because of the results that come when we really trust God. First of all, trusting God results in victory in life's battles. You've had battles, I'm sure. Battles within your own heart, within your own mind. Battles in relationships with others. And you will have more battles, without a doubt. And when you trust God, God gives you victory in life's battles. Look at Psalm 37. Psalm 37 is a rich chapter. It may be my favorite psalm. I've spent a lot of time in Psalm 37. And in Psalm 37, verses 39 and 40, we read these words, "But the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble. And the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them." And notice the last phrase of Psalm 37, the very last phrase, "because they trust in Him." Trusting God will result in victory in life's battles. Doesn't matter what the battle is. No battle that comes to you will you lose ever in your life if you face that battle with absolute confidence and trust in God. But if you don't trust God, chances are you'll lose that battle. David faced Goliath. Didn't scare David, did it? Scared all the rest of Israel. Why was David not afraid of that battle? He knew where his trust was. His trust was in God. It wasn't in himself. It wasn't in Saul's armor. And you can liken Saul's armor to a lot of things. You can liken Saul's armor to an education. You can liken Saul's armor to athletic ability. You can liken Saul's armor to good looks. You can liken Saul's armor to a lot of things. You can liken it to money. You can put anything in there that you want that kind of fits the idea of what you can supply against your enemies. But nothing you put in the place of Saul's armor can come up to or match what David had in his heart as he walked out in front of that huge giant all by his little old self. And his confidence, his trust was not in himself. And some people say, well, those little five stones, I bet it was. No. He wasn't trusting his skill with the slingshot. David's confidence for the victory in that battle was in God. That's where it was. And let me tell you, all of us in this room, and you two guys in particular, if you come into the battles of life and you engage in those battles, you will suffer defeat unless you have your confidence in God, your trust in God. And by the way, and there's much more scripture that we could give that deals with this, but the area of victory in our battle with sin, by the way, is one where you can have victory, but you can't have victory over sin in your life if you're putting confidence in yourself to win that, or confidence in rules or regulations. You put your confidence in God even for victory over sin. And when you fail in that area, you have the something God has provided, and that is his cleansing if you confess your sins. Number two, confidence or trust in God not only provides victory in life's battles, it provides success in life's endeavors. Back to Psalm 37. Verses 3 through 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thy heart. That, by the way, means that God will place within your heart the desires that should be there. Delight yourself in the Lord. That doesn't mean that he'll give you a car or a house or this or that. No, it means if you delight yourself in the Lord, then he will place within your heart the desires that should be there. And then verse 5 says, commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. We cannot delight or commit without trusting. Can't do it. We can't delight ourselves in the Lord. We can't commit our way to the Lord unless we're trusting him. And so that's the second thing, success in life's endeavors. And we won't elaborate there. Let me give you the third one quickly. Not only does it provide victory in life's battles, success for life's endeavors, but trusting God also results in provision for life's necessities. Note, necessities, not wants. The things that we really must have in our lives, if we're trusting God, back to Psalm 37, trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. We're not trusting God if we're not doing good. And then 23 through 25, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. I've been young, and now I'm old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. I have often said, I will never die of starvation. God's going to provide the necessities for me as long as he wants me here. And when you really trust God, you won't have to worry about the necessities of life. God will supply your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ. And so if we're trusting him, we understand what it means to be content with his appraisal of what the necessities of life are. Number four, trusting God will provide or result in peace in life's storms. Job knew about life's storms. And the difference in battles and storms is this. A battle is something that you wage and that you fight. And you have some potential for doing something about it. But when storms come, what am I against a tornado or a hurricane or an earthquake, some disaster, some huge thing? What am I against the storms of life? I can't change that. You can't change that. And when the storms of life come, like they did to Job, Job was no match for what was happening. And yet through the storms, because he trusted God, he continued to have peace and could say, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. And so trusting God provides peace in the midst of life's storms. Life storms are things that we can do nothing about. I often think of Paul and Silas there in Philippi. In fact, in my notes, I have Acts 16, verses 22 through 31. Wish we had time to read it and just think about it. The Apostle Paul had walked with God, and he had lived for the Lord, and he had been through lots of things, snake bite, shipwreck, on and on and on. I'm not sure the chronology of that, but at any point, he knew when he got to Philippi and when he was beaten and cast into prison, he didn't have anything to worry about because his trust, his confidence was in the Lord. And so at midnight, rather than crying the blues and having a fit over the conditions in the prison and so on, he and Silas began to pray and sing God's praises. They were in the middle of a storm. They could do nothing about it. Who were they, those two guys, against all the people that were against them and had treated them badly? And so they had peace in the midst of life's storm. We are no match for life's storms, but God is. And I challenge you, trust him. Number five, not only will trusting God provide victory in life's battles, success in life's endeavors, provision of life's necessities, and peace in life's storms, but it also will provide guidance for life's choices. And I've often said, life is built on choices. And when I speak in North Carolina, and I come to this point in this message, my son-in-law and my daughter will remember that that was a theme that I had for them as their principal in high school. Life's built on choices. Everything about our lives has to do with the choices that God places before us. And every day that you two guys live from this day forward until the day you take your last breath and your heart stops beating here on earth, it will be a chain with links of life's choices. And when you place your faith in God, you trust him utterly. And you are bringing him into the picture as you face every choice in your life. You will make right choices. You will have guidance for life's choices that cannot be matched by man's counsel. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. Remember, it's a fool who trusts his own heart. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, not your own heart. You don't trust your own heart. You trust in the Lord with your heart. And lean not into thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him. And he shall, not might, he shall direct thy paths. And some of you heard this before. You've heard me quote it the way I say I have to quote it to myself. I want to do that again tonight. When I quote these verses to Jerry, I have to quote them this way. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. Did I shock you? Good. That's what I wanted to do. I wanted to make this point. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. I wonder, would you do that with me? Would you quote it with me that way? Everybody, come on, just do it that way. I want you to do it once. I don't want you to forget this. I want you to remember that the challenge in trusting God is the temptation to lean to our own understanding, and what a silly thing that is. My understanding compared to trusting God? Why, it's not even, you can't even say it's a difference of night and day. There's no way you can compare my understanding to what I have if I ignore my own understanding in order to trust him. So come on, everybody, you know the verses. We're going to say, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and then lean not into that understanding. I want you to do it just like I did it. Come on, let's go. Everybody, I want you to do it. Here we go. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. That was pretty good, but it can be better. I want these guys never to forget this service, okay? I don't want them to ever forget this. So come on, people. Let's do it. And you guys, too. I want you to really rear down on that, lean not unto thine own understanding. Because that's what will get you into trouble. Let me just point that out and emphasize it. That's what will get you into trouble. Leaning to your own understanding. It'll do it. It'll get you in trouble. Don't forget it. Come on. Let's do it again. Here we go. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Yeah. That's an absolute emphatic truth. And that makes me think of an illustration I'm tempted to give, because this is kind of weird what I'm doing, you know, yelling like that up here at the pulpit. They call those hellfire and damnation preachers that pound the pulpit and all of that. And I have a cousin who had a little girl whose name was Sherry Lynn. And one time we were in Holden, Missouri, out on number 2 highway at Little Rose Hill Baptist Church. Back when they had outhouses instead of indoor bathrooms and a potbelly stove in the middle of the place and no carpet anywhere. Everything was real resounding. And there was a revival meeting. The preacher was preaching like crazy and just pounding the pulpit and walking back and forth. And all of a sudden he came to a grand pause, dead silence. And Sherry Lynn, who was about 3 years old, during that silence nudged her mother, and out loud so everybody could hear, she said, "Mama, that man's mean." And that's exactly what happened. That man's mean. Hey, I'm not trying to be mean. I'm not trying to be mean. But I want you guys to never forget the danger that faces you in the future of your life is leaning to your own understanding. How many have ever seen this program on TV, Are You Smarter Than a, what's the rest of it? Are you smarter than a fifth grader? I ask you this question, guys. I ask you this question. Think about it. Are you smarter than God? Huh? Anybody in here smarter than God? Am I smarter than God? It's a no-brainer. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and don't even lean to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. Guidance for life's choices. And lastly, not only do we have the victory, the provision, the peace, all that comes along with trusting God and the guidance for life's choices. But let me tell you what, if you trust God, another result of trusting God will be a life of limited regrets. A life of limited regrets. The person who, when they trust Christ as their Savior, they also say, I'm going to trust him for my salvation, but I'm going to trust him not only for my eternity, I'm going to trust him for time. And sometimes it's a lot easier to just trust him for our Savior and say, okay, I'm going to trust him for my eternity, and then in our minds reserve time to ourselves. So we trust ourselves or other people for time. It's foolish. Because if we trust him completely, with all of our hearts, not only for our eternity, but for our time as well, that will result in a life of limited regrets. Oh, we will have regrets. All of us have regrets. There's not a person in here who can say to me, honestly, I have no regrets. Even those people who say, I did it my way, I'm glad I did it my way. My life, it's true, it's your life. But let me tell you, if you do it God's way instead of your way, and you trust him, you will look back over your life at 72 years of age with fewer regrets than I have. I have regrets. They're unavoidable. But when we walk by faith, that is, when we trust God, we diminish the potential for regrets. And I close with these two passages. Jesus said in his high priestly prayer in John 17:4, he said to his Father, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And of course, he was God. He didn't have an old Adamic nature. But then listen to what Paul wrote to his son in the faith in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. He said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Why could Paul say that? Because Paul had learned the value of trusting God rather than trusting himself. Victory in life's battles, success in life's endeavors, provision for life's necessities, peace in life's storms, guidance in life's choices, and we end up with a life of limited regrets. It boils down to the question, are we going to trust God or not? And guys, your answer to this question is immeasurably important to your future. What will your answer be? And I ask everybody in this congregation, what will your answer be? Will you trust God? If you decide to trust God, then you have to almost eradicate your trust in anything else, including yourself. Would you bow with me, pray?